Somebody said when I was pastoring, they said, "Pastor, you don't preach very long. It just seems that way." So I couldn't tell for sure whether that was a compliment or what. So I do have some comments for us today, a devotional, which hopefully won't be too long, but comes from a New Testament story that you're already familiar with. But let me begin by just noting that it's an amazing thing what a difference one day can make in a person's life. I mean, think about that. One day can forever shift the trajectory of an individual's life. One day can put them on a new pathway. It happens really more often than maybe even we think about it. I was thinking, for example, of students, and we've had some now just this fall who for the first time enroll at NBC. For the first time, they're giving themselves to formal ministerial preparation. And that has a way of shifting the trajectory now of their life. And it's the beginning moment. I was also thinking about those celebrations we had last spring and summer with our graduates. Graduation is a day that signals a kind of completion, but the beginning now of that. So there are many times when one day can make the difference in a person's life. Sometimes they're tragic days, an automobile wreck, a doctor's diagnosis, a divorce, a hurt. Days come that have a tendency to leave a lasting impact. Well, that's true spiritually as well. There are days along the way when spiritually our lives can change. And we see that, in fact, today in a familiar story of an encounter, a life-changing encounter between a man named Zacchaeus from the ancient city of Jericho and the Lord Jesus. It was a day that changed Zacchaeus's life. The scripture tells us the story in Luke chapter 19, and I know you're aware of it, but I want to read it again so that we have it fresh in our minds. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once, welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come." It was a day that made a difference in his life. Now, before we unpack this story and maybe look at it through a different lens, I'd like to set the story against the backdrop of an Old Testament verse, really two verses, from the prophet Joel, who writes, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Return to the Lord our God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love." Even now. I've been kind of taken with that little phrase. Even now, return to me with all your heart. Those words, even now, suggest that it's never too late to come to God. It's never too late. Why? Because, as the prophet says, God is gracious. God is compassionate. God is slow to anger and abounding in love. So it's never too late for any of us. It's also never too late for those with whom and to whom we minister. It's a great portrait of God from the prophet. this portrait of God. And it's a great promise. It's never too late to come to God, never too late to change the pattern and habit of our life, never too late for a person to repent, never too late for a person to be forgiven. Even now, having perhaps done things we shouldn't have done, even now, having not done things we should do, it doesn't matter. It's always appropriate. It's always the right time to come to God. So that's great news. And we see that played out here with Zacchaeus, this wee little man. It's never too late for him. And you know, if it was never too late for Zacchaeus, it's really never too late for any of us and for those in our congregations. Well, I'm going to go a little easy on the details of the story. Number one, because I think you know it. Number two, we can kind of get sidetracked on the details and miss maybe the big picture. So I'm going to forego talking to you about the arboreal history of sycamore trees. We're not going to look at the relative height of men in Israel during the first century. I won't project a map where we can see all the routes from Jerusalem to Jericho. Instead, I want to take this story and I want to look at it through the lens of two questions. I want to ask two questions of this familiar story. The first question is this: what did Jesus see? What did Jesus see? It's really the fifth verse in chapter 19 that raises that question. That verse says this: when Jesus reached the spot. Now, what spot was that? The spot where Zacchaeus had climbed up in the tree. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. So my question is, what did he see? When Jesus stopped the crowd, there would have been, I think, a hush. What's happening? Something's happening. Why is we're stopping? And Jesus looked up. What did he see? Well, what do you suppose he saw? I think, first of all, Jesus saw a man who did not expect or want to be seen. I mean, Zacchaeus wanted to see, but he didn't want to be seen, right? He was hiding in a way. He was up in that tree. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see what was going on. He wanted to be an unobserved observer, so to speak. It's like on a television show when you're watching and the main characters get in an elevator and there's some other people there on the elevator. I mean, you see them, but in a way you don't even see them because they're extras. They're just kind of there. Well, that's what Zacchaeus wanted. He wanted somehow to see Jesus, but he was hiding at the same time. I think that's a very natural response, particularly for people who have spiritual needs. Sometimes even in congregations, in the midst of our service, there are people there who in some ways are camouflaged by the crowd. They just blend in. You don't know the story of their life. You don't know what they're dealing with. They're hiding in a way. A crowd can be a protective device. But Jesus stops and he looks up and he sees somebody who didn't expect or want to be seen. That is, to me, is a kind of reassuring, comforting thought that Jesus sees us even in those moments when we are hiding or we don't want to be seen. I had the privilege as a young pastor to serve as the senior pastor at First Church of the Nazarene in Dallas, Texas. Loved it. Just had the great experience there. Left that church to take another assignment, another pastorate. So maybe 10 years later, Jill and I were back in Dallas, and we decided to go back to Dallas first for morning worship. But I didn't really want anybody to know that we were coming. I didn't want it to be a big deal. I didn't want to have to speak. I just wanted to kind of slip in. So we didn't tell anybody, and we timed it to arrive at church right when the service was beginning. So the song service had just started, and we slipped in, went down a side aisle and slipped into the pew. And we're singing, and it just, you know, brings back floods of wonderful memories of our time there and all of that. And then just as the song ended, and, you know, there's a kind of a quiet moment there, just in that quiet moment, an elderly woman who'd been a part of that church for, oh, 120 years or so, who was sitting behind us. She evidently turned to the woman next to her, and in a whisper that could be heard everywhere, she said, "He used to be our pastor." And suddenly, in that silent moment, it was like the pause button had been pushed and everybody turned around, and our anonymity was annihilated by that one whisper. Suddenly, we weren't hiding anymore. People were looking at us. That's what happened to Zacchaeus here. He wants to see Jesus. He's somehow drawn to it, but he doesn't really want to be seen. But Jesus sees him. That's what I think Jesus saw. He saw a person who didn't want to be seen. Second thing I think Jesus saw was he saw an individual who had a spiritual need and evidently didn't know quite how to respond to that. In other words, I think Zacchaeus was drawn to Jesus that day because he recognized that there was something missing in his life. I'm assuming, and it's just an assumption, that Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. I'm not sure he would have been drawn in such a way if he'd never heard about Jesus. So I think Zacchaeus, he looks at his own life. He has what most 20th century people want, 21st century people want. He had wealth, he had power, he had position, he had all of that, but it wasn't enough. And so he somehow senses that maybe this Jesus is somehow the answer. So he's hiding, but he's aware of his spiritual need. And I think that's the prevenient grace of God for all people who somehow sense that they need something, but they're not sure what it is. And so they begin to be drawn to Jesus. Maybe it was just curiosity at first that drew Zacchaeus. I don't know for sure. But whatever it was, he was in the right place at the right time. And Jesus stopped and looked up, saw a man who didn't want to be seen, saw a man who had a spiritual need. The third thing that I think Jesus saw, which is maybe the best thing, Jesus saw in Zacchaeus an individual with whom he, Jesus, wanted to have fellowship. What does he say? "Zacchaeus, come down from there. I want to be at your house today. Zacchaeus, I want to be part of your life. I want to move into your world. I want us to be together." So he calls out to Zacchaeus and says, "I want to see you. I want to be with you." That's the gospel, isn't it? That's the good news of the grace of God who comes. And suddenly he sees this one. So Jesus sees all of us, even if we're camouflaged in ways that are a little more subtle than being up in a tree. And he sees this person that he wants to have fellowship with. So he says to Zacchaeus, "Come down." I think in some ways, Zacchaeus was lost and at first maybe didn't know he was lost until Jesus stopped and begins to have that dialogue. Several years ago when I was still, at Olivet, I was invited to be the commencement speaker at a large Christian high school in St. Louis. I'd been down there once before and they wanted me to come back for commencement. So it was about a 4-hour drive and the commencement was a Saturday late morning. So I thought, I'm just going to get up early on Saturday and drive to St. Louis, be there for the ceremony, turn around and come back home rather than go and spend the night. So I did. I got up early, got coffee, took off, and got to St. Louis in good time, well ahead of the scheduled time. Crossed that big bridge right in front of the arch. And when I crossed the bridge into St. Louis, I turned left, turned south, and headed in the direction where I thought this school was. And I was moving right along, and little by little, I realized that things didn't look familiar. I thought I knew where the school was, but it seemed like I was not going in the right direction. So I did what lots of men do when they're lost. I stepped on the gas. I just thought, I'll just go a little faster, catch up. Well, pretty soon I realized something's wrong. So I did what I should have done at first. I pulled off, put the address in my phone, the app. Sure enough, I was making great time, but I was going in the wrong direction. I was lost, and I didn't know I was lost until I realized I needed to stop. That's what we have this here in this encounter. We have a man who's lost. He has lots of things that people look for, but that wasn't enough. And Jesus stops the parade and looks up and sees him and calls him by name. He doesn't say, "Hey, you." He says, "Zacchaeus, come down." It's a great story. And really, we could stop there. It's a picture of the prevenient grace of God seeking and saving the lost, right? That's the last verse we read. That's why Jesus came, to seek and save the lost. And so we could stop and celebrate the grace of God. But the story doesn't stop there. And it really raises the second question. The first question is, what did Jesus see? The second question is, what did Zacchaeus do? I love what he did. What did Zacchaeus do? The first thing he did was he came down out of the tree. Pretty simple, right? He quit hiding. He came down. Now, it would have been an embarrassing moment, frankly, for him. I mean, he was a man of certain stature. He may not have been respected, but he was known at least. The scripture goes on, in fact, says that when they stopped and Jesus looked up, people began to murmur. Isn't that like us? Now, what happens when you're in a crowd and somebody in the crowd looks up? What do? Yeah, you look up, right? So everybody looked up. What's going on? What's going on? What's happening? Ah, oh, who's that? Ah, that's Zacchaeus, they began to whisper. And suddenly, he is the center of attention. Remember, he doesn't want to be seen, but now he is. But even so, he immediately does the right thing. I think about it sometimes when I'm preaching in revival such situations, and I'm calling people to step out of the crowd and come forward. That's a big step for folks. But there is something freeing, isn't there, about taking that public step. So what did Zacchaeus do? Praise the Lord, he came down out of the tree. Pretty simple, but pretty remarkable. He said, no more hiding. I'm going to come and have this conversation. The second thing that we see in the scripture is that not only did he come down, but more importantly, the scripture says he welcomed Jesus gladly. Verse 6. He immediately welcomed Jesus. Now, it would have been a frightening moment in some ways to be singled out, called by name. Here's this man who obviously has some power and influence, Jesus, and yet he welcomes him. People began to murmur, but nonetheless, he came down. And then the third thing, he came out of the tree, he welcomed Jesus gladly, and then he confronted and confessed his own situation. I like what he says. Here and now, he says, I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, he said, I'll pay it back four times. It's a sudden transformation of his life. It's one of those days where remarkably things change. His life changed. Suddenly the arrows are not going in. It's all about me. What can I get? What can I have? It's now, what should I be doing for others? It's a great thing. He moves really from repentance all the way to restitution, kind of in one step. He takes responsibility and he accepts this invitation from Jesus. I got a letter not too long before I retired from Olivet from one of our graduates. I didn't know him. The name was somewhat familiar, but I got this letter. It said, "Dear Dr. Bowling, I graduated in such and such year. When I was a student there, I worked part-time in media and IT department. And he said, there was a moment when I took some equipment that belonged to the college and kept it for myself. And I graduated and went on. But he said, I've just been convicted over that. And I'm sending a check to cover the cost of that. And if this is not enough, he said, let me know and I'll send more money." Well, I was thrilled to get the letter, not because of the money. It wasn't that much money. And as far as I know, we didn't even know the equipment was missing. But this young man was bearing witness of a genuine deep change, and he wanted to make it right. Now, I know we can't always go back, and really we shouldn't always try to go back and unravel some things that are best left in the past. But this was a genuine mark of repentance on the part of Zacchaeus and then this young man to say, okay, I'm going to try to make it right. So his whole life now starts in a different direction. So those two questions give us perhaps different lenses in which to see this familiar story. What did Jesus see? Saw a man who didn't want to be seen. Saw a man that had a spiritual need but wasn't sure how to do it, how to respond. He saw someone, more importantly, that he, Jesus, wanted to keep company with. In the face of that invitation, what did Zacchaeus do? Immediately came out of hiding, welcomed Jesus, and then said, I'm going to be a different person from this moment on. And if I've wronged people, I'm going to make it right. And you get that sense that he's going to live a new life. Now, let me just make a closing comment that I guess actually falls outside the two questions. Did you happen to notice that when Jesus stops and begins to address Zacchaeus, that he does not put any preconditions on his invitation to come down? In other words, he gets to that point. He looks up, he sees Zacchaeus, but he does not say, oh, I know you. You're a cheat. I know you. Your life is not what it should be. And listen to me, Zacchaeus. If you want to have anything to do with me, you've got to get your life together. You've got to straighten up. You've got to make things right. None of that was preconditioned, right? He simply says, come to me. Getting your life put together comes after the fact, really, because we need God's grace to do that. So it's really good news that Jesus offers us this invitation. And I feel like then I want to stand in the gap when I'm speaking to congregations, when I'm talking to individuals, and I sense that there's a spiritual need there. I want to assure them just what the Old Testament said, even now, at this moment in your life, it's not too late to come to God. Praise his name. Let's pray. Father, we've looked into the scripture and really we've seen our own story. It's the story of Zacchaeus, but it's our story too. Somewhere along the way, we had that life-changing encounter. Jesus said to us, called us by name. Oh, I've been looking for you. You're the reason I've come. I want you to know I want to share life with you. I want to be part of your world. I want to live in your home. I want to go to work with you. I want to be part of your conversations. I want us to be together. And we're thankful that you've given us faith and grace to say yes to Jesus, to do our best to live according to that call upon our life. And so we pray that you'll keep this ancient story alive. Help us to be ambassadors of that good news to other people and be reminded that whatever the circumstances, it's never too late. For God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Amen. Amen.